Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our epistle lesson, we heard Peter say, Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last time for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Think about that. Peter is saying that even before he laid the foundation of the cosmos, God's plan was to take on flesh in order to be the Lamb of God. And it's through the Lamb of God, whom he raised from the dead, that we are believers. To say it another way, if Christ has not been raised, we would have nothing to believe in, and we would have no faith and no hope. So on the basis of that, how important is the resurrection? Throughout the New Testament, the apostles make it clear that the resurrected Jesus, who came forth on Easter morning from the tomb, is the only reason for our hope and for faith itself. It's faith in the resurrection, in the resurrected Jesus, that makes us Christians. It isn't trusting some obscure hope or unfulfilled promise of a man who came and told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised, but then didn't, that makes us Christians. No, Jesus told them this and then fulfilled those words by rising bodily from the tomb. If he hadn't fulfilled that promise, he would have been no different than any other false prophet. So is the resurrection important? Well, here's what St. Paul had to say. I would remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. And then he sums up that gospel that he preached by saying, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Now when he says in accordance with the scriptures, he's talking about what we call the Old Testament. He's saying everything Jesus did for our salvation is revealed there. His life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Now, that may all seem very clear and obvious to you and me. And yet, there are those who claim to be followers of Christ who deny that very truth. Last week I said something that I hope was shocking to you. There are far too many who are teaching in seminaries and universities and who are preaching in pulpits who do not believe that Jesus truly rose from the grave as the triumphant Son of God on that first Easter morning. Listen to this and judge for yourself. One associate professor of New Testament theology said, the statement, God raised Jesus from the dead, is a statement of faith, not historic fact. And a well-known Episcopal bishop wrote, the question is not, did the resurrection really happen or not? The details of the resurrection are not what's important. Rather, it was the impact of the experience that the experience had on Jesus' followers, no matter how you define that experience, that we need to consider. And another highly respected New Testament scholar and author said, the resurrection happened in the hearts and minds of the first disciples. It was an ecstatic event that did not involve the body. These people claim to be Christian, but are they? I don't think so, and neither would the writers of the New Testament. Sadly, these people and many others like them have deserted the faith and even seek to destroy the faith of others. And ultimately, these and all people who don't know the promise of the empty tomb face the end of their life hopeless and helpless. But if you know Jesus as the conqueror of death, life is much different. I'd like to share a rather lengthy story which I believe illustrates this truth very well. You may have heard it before. It appeared many years ago in Focus on the Family magazine. Jeremy was born with a twisted body and a slow mind. At the age of 12, he was still in second grade, seemingly unable to learn. He attended a parochial school where Doris, his teacher, often became exasperated with him. He would squirm in his seat and drool and make grunting noises. At other times, he spoke clearly and distinctly as if a spot of light had penetrated the darkness of his brain. But most of the time, Jeremy simply irritated his teacher. And one day, she called his parents and asked them to come to the school for a consultation. As Jeremy's parents sat quietly in the empty classroom, she said to them, "Jeremy really belongs in a special school. It isn't fair to him to be with younger children who don't have learning problems. The 5-year gap between his age and that of the other students must be very disturbing for him." Jeremy's mother cried softly while her husband said, "I would normally agree with you wholeheartedly. Unfortunately, there's no school of that kind nearby. It would be a terrible shock for Jeremy if we had to take him out of the school. We know that he really likes it here." Doris sat for a long time after Jeremy's parents left, staring at the snow outside the window, and its coldness seemed to reflect the feeling in her heart. She wanted to sympathize with Jeremy's parents. You see, Jeremy was their only child, and he also had a terminal illness. But it wasn't fair to keep him in her class. She had 18 other children to teach, and Jeremy was a distraction. Furthermore, he would never learn to read and write. Why waste time trying? But as she thought these things, a feeling of guilt washed over her, and she said out loud, Oh God, here I am, complaining when my problems are nothing compared with what that poor family has to contend with. God, help me to be more patient with Jeremy." And from that day on, she tried hard to ignore Jeremy's noises and blank stares. Springtime came, and the children talked excitedly about the coming of Easter. And during class, Doris told them the story of Jesus. And then to emphasize the idea of new life springing forth, she gave each of them a large plastic egg, saying, "I want you to take this home and bring it back tomorrow with something inside that shows new life. Do you understand?" And all the children responded enthusiastically, "Oh yes, Miss Miller." All except Jeremy, that is. He just listened intently. His eyes never left her face. He didn't even make his usual noises. His teacher found herself thinking, had he understood what she said about Jesus' death and resurrection? Did he understand the assignment? Perhaps she should call his parents and explain the project to them. That evening at home, her kitchen sink stopped up. She called her landlord, waited an hour for him to come and unclog it, and after that, she still had to shop for groceries, iron a blouse for the next day, prepare a vocabulary test, and so she completely forgot about phoning Jeremy's parents. The next day, 19 children came to school, laughing and talking as they placed their eggs in the large wicker basket on their teacher's desk. After they completed their math lesson, it was time to open the eggs. In the first egg, Doris found a flower. "Oh yes, a flower. It's certainly a sign of new life," she said. "When the plants peek through the ground, we know that spring is here." And a small girl in the first row waved her hand and said, "That's my egg, Miss Miller." The next egg contained a plastic butterfly, which looked very real. And she held it up and she said, "Well, we all know that a caterpillar changes and grows into a beautiful butterfly. And yes, that's new life too." Another little girl smiled proudly and said, "Miss Miller, that one's mine." Next one, she found a rock with moss on it. And she explained that, yeah, moss too shows new life. And a little boy in the back spoke up and said, "My daddy helped me with that." And then she opened the next egg and just stared. The egg was empty. And surely it must be Jeremy's, she thought. And of course he hadn't understood the instructions. If only she hadn't forgotten to phone his parents. Because she didn't want to embarrass him, she quietly set the egg aside and reached for another. And suddenly Jeremy spoke up. "Miss Miller, aren't you going to talk about my egg?" And flustered, she replied, "But Jeremy, your egg is empty." And he looked into her eyes and said softly, "Yes, but Jesus' tomb was empty too." She said it was as if time had stood still. And when she could speak again, she asked him, "Do you understand? Do you know why the tomb was empty?" And Jeremy said, "Oh yes, Jesus was killed and put in there, and then his father raised him up." The recess bell rang, and while the children excitedly ran out to the schoolyard, Doris cried. And in those moments, the cold inside her melted away. 3 months later, Jeremy died. And those who paid their respects at the funeral home were surprised to see 19 eggs on top of his casket, all of them empty. Almost 2,000 years ago, on that first Easter morning, a tomb in a Roman province called Palestine, which once held the Lord of life, was also empty. And that event has brought and continues to bring more hope and joy and peace to people than any other event in all of history. Victor Hugo, who wrote Les Miserables and The Hunchback of Notre Dame, in a work simply titled Endless Life, wrote this: "When I go down to the grave, I can say, like so many others, I have finished my work. But I cannot say I have finished my life. My day's work will begin the next morning. My tomb is not a blind alley. It's a thoroughfare. It closes on the twilight to open in the dawn." What beautiful and comforting words. What a contrast those words are to those who would deny or reject the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. "My tomb is not a blind alley. It's a thoroughfare. It closes on the twilight to open in the dawn." That's the promise which Jesus has given to each of us, to you, to me, to all who believe in him. That's the faith we have through him whom God raised from the dead. When the day comes that our eyes close for the last time in this world, because of Christ's resurrection, we have the assurance that the day is just beginning in the next, a day that will have no end. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.